Thank you for downloading this podcast from Emmanuel Church Lurgan. At Emmanuel, our vision is to help rewrite the story of Craigavon, Ireland and the nations with the good news of the Kingdom of God. We hope you enjoy listening to this message.
So this is our last week on the Empowered series. And if you try to think back over these last few weeks of where have we been on the journey, if this is your first week in amongst us, then pay attention to this little bit so you maybe will try and get caught up with where we've been. We've been trying to show you biblically what we believe the gifts are, what the spiritual gifts are. We've been unpacking those one by one and recognizing that there is a multitude of them, there's a diversity of them, that God distributes them as he sees fit to each person. He gives them in such a way that we need each other. And we've looked at how do we use the gifts, how do we hold them with humility and with love between us. And we're hoping that theologically we've unpacked for you why we believe that the gifts are to be in operation today as well. We've looked at some of the leadership gifts of the apostle, of the prophet, of the teacher, of the pastor, of the evangelist, and been looking and going, how do these all work together and how do they complement each other? And hopefully given a nod, excuse me, to the fact that actually sometimes different gift mixes can cause a little bit of tension and strain, even just like personality types and all of that stuff. But how do we work all of these together? And the hope would be, okay, our hope would be that you're sitting here this morning going, right, I know what my gift is and I'm ready to start using it. However, we know that that's not the reality for everybody in the room, that this has been a journey that you've been on, that actually it started to cause you to ask more questions and having more answers. And all we would say is, let's go on that journey together and let's keep going on that journey together. Again, we would just highlight why life groups are so important, because this is the place where you will get to unpack all of this learning. It gives you someone that you can sort of lean into and ask questions to. If they don't know the answers, they'll ask Phil. So they will. But we'll do this together, okay? And some of you may be sitting and going, actually, I feel like I have discovered what some of my gifts may be, or you've had them affirmed because you've went, actually, I've always been doing this. I just didn't realize that that's what it was. Or maybe you're here and you've been on the road a little bit longer and you've had your gift reignited within you. And all of those things are what we are hoping for and what we're longing for. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. This is Paul talking to Timothy, and he's saying, I remind you to fan into flame. And I suppose as we've been doing all of this teaching and talking on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and there's a journey and there's a process, and we need to keep in conversation. We want to do everything that we can to create space for you to use your gifts and to step into them. But it's important to hear the phrase here of, I remind you to fan into flame. I remind you to fan into flame. What is it that God has placed within you? What is it that God has entrusted you with? And what is it that he's looking you to fan into flame? And there's a sense that actually you need to take some responsibility for the gift that God has given you, for what he has placed into your hand. And maybe it's as simple as this, because whenever God's the one who gives the gifts, he's the best one to talk to about them, okay? When God gives the gifts and he's decided to give you the gift, he is the best one to talk to about them. God, what is the gift that you've given me? Why have you given me it? How can I grow in it? There are some simple questions that it's okay to bring before the Lord in your own quiet time, in your own devotion, in your space with him, of just saying, God, what is it that you've placed within me? If you're not sure on that, keep asking him. also, God, how can I use it? How can I surrender this over to you? And are there ways that you want me to grow or be stretched within this? And then again, I say, like, talk to other people as well. Unpack this, because sometimes people will see it really clearly and you're struggling to see what's right in front of you. And I just say, encourage you to do that. What we have done as well, this is really helpful for us, is we have created a little feedback form. And it's asking a couple of simple questions. It's saying, what have you learnt or experienced? Have you discovered or reaffirmed or reignited any gifts? How could you use this gift? And how could you grow in it? Those same questions. So that on the back of all of this teaching, because we've given quite a bit of time over to this, on the back of all of this teaching, that you're actually unpacking it within your own head, and we're not just moving on to the next thing, that you're actually thinking about it and taking it. It'll take different lengths of time to fill out the form depending on your personality type. Some of you will have it done in 3 minutes. Some of you will want to take 2 days. But whatever way you want to answer these questions, one, to help you reflect. The other part of this is that it's really helpful for us to have this. It's really helpful for us to have this information of going, wow, this person in our church thinks they have this gift and they would love to use it in this way, and we never knew. And we would love to start gathering in that information, that if there's opportunities for further training or if there's opportunities for you to serve, that we could be pointing you in that direction and sort of helping join some of the dots for you. So this form, it's here there this morning, but it will be going out over social media. It'll be on our app. There will be an email going out about it. There will be no excuse not to fill it in. And we would really love it if you could take a couple of minutes just to do that and give us some feedback, because just even the feedback is really helpful as well. Right, if you can think a way back, right near the start of our series, Dave spoke on Matthew 25, and he spoke on the parable of the talents. And this idea that as God distributes the talents, as God distributes the gifts, there's people then that took their gift and they took risk and they used them and it got multiplied. And then there was people who took their gift and they buried it. And then it seems like this really harsh statement where then even that is taken away from them. And that probably raised quite a lot of questions. Is like, will I just lose it? Do I just lose my gift? And it's never beyond, it's beyond return. And we would be saying that as God distributes gifts, we believe that he entrusts them with us. And this passage is really clearly encouraging us to take risks and to have courage in what he has given us. And a bit like a muscle, if you don't use it, it will deteriorate. If you don't use it, if you don't practice it, if you don't train, the muscle will weaken. And we would love you to be leaning in and taking courage and risks with the gift that God has given you. But in this passage, it then goes on, and we go further down into Matthew 25. And sorry, it's so small on the screen there. But Matthew 25, and if you do want to pull this one up, we'll jump around Matthew 25 for a little moment here. Verse 31 to 46 says this. So this is after the parable of the talents, and then we're flowing in straight into this story that Jesus is telling and is teaching. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you? Then the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed and into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for me, for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. This is a really sobering passage. And whenever you first read this passage, you could be thinking, going, their actions, what they did or what they didn't do, determined their destiny, their eternal destiny. That if they did all of the right things, they got into heaven. And if they didn't do all the right things, they ended up in hell, in torment. And yet we know clearly that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that actually our salvation and our hope of heaven comes through faith in Jesus and Jesus alone, the finished work of the cross and the forgiveness of our sins that can only come from him. So what is it that this passage is then saying? Because if you look at it, it's going, it's your actions. And yet what I would love us to look at and realize just for a moment is that it seems like what the passage is saying is that a life that is changed and transformed, a life that is following after Jesus needs to look like something. It actually has to take action and it will work its way out into what you do and how you live. You see, you have this moment, it talks right at the very start of the passage because there's a king that returns. So imagine that there's this king that is coming back and he's going to sit on his throne over all of the nations and he's going to gather all people to himself. And then there's going to be a separation. So there's this spontaneous return because the Bible teaches us that nobody knows whenever Jesus is going to come back. There's lots of signs that we look around our world that we're going, oh man, it cannot be far away. But the Bible teaches us clearly that whenever we least expect it, that Jesus will return. That he is coming back. There's this sense of a spontaneous return when Jesus is going to arrive onto this face of earth again. And then with that, there's a separation that's happening. And the life that is living in anticipation of his return, the life that is living in the anticipation of the spontaneous return of Jesus, who has been rescued, who knows what forgiveness is, that life should look like something. And it looks like a life that is set apart for Jesus to minister and to serve him. It is a life that is fully surrendered because of everything that Jesus has done for us, in the way that he died for us, in the death that he went through for us, that because of that, we're going, I am giving you everything, Jesus. I want to serve you. It's a life that is set apart to minister to Jesus. There's a spontaneous return. There's a separation. There is a serving of Jesus. And yet this passage shows us really clearly what it looks like to serve Jesus. He says, whatever you do to the very least, whatever you do to the broken, whatever you do to the hurting, whatever you do to the lost, you're doing it unto me. If you want to serve me, then serve the brokenness of humanity. Go and find me in their faces. Go and see me in their faces. Go and look around this world and see the brokenness, and in that place see me. And will you go and serve me by serving them? You see, it's important to put the connection between these two stories of the parable of the talents. God is distributing this gift, and we've spent ages talking about it. God has given me this gift, and isn't that great? And he's given me this one, and I want to learn how to use it. But what's the why behind this? These two passages are so closely linked in. He's given us these gifts. He's saying, you need to use it. I want you to use it. Don't bury it. I want you to use it. And then he's going on and saying he's coming back. There's this spontaneous return. And how are we serving him? We're using our gifts, our talents, to serve him in the brokenness of the world. And we've been teaching on all of these gifts, not so that we can come in here and perform really well. We've been teaching on the gifts because it's a broken world that needs Jesus. And if there's something that God's given us that we can use to help reach people, then we want to use it. If you jump back into the very start, I would really encourage you to go and read Matthew 25 whenever you go home. Because each of the stories talks about Jesus coming back. Talks about a king or a master returning. And then at the very start of the passage is about 10 virgins who are preparing, but half them fall asleep and they're not ready. It says, keep watch because you don't know the day or the hour that he's coming back. What God has asked us to do, there is an urgency to it. There is an urgency to the mission, to the call that God has placed upon your life. And I suppose if we've been talking about the gifts, what do you want to do with your gift? Do you want to hold it like a trophy and admire it and be so thankful for what God's given you? Other people to admire you because look what you have and look what you can do. Or is it that we're actually seeing the focus of what this is all about, that there's a mission right in front of us and people need Jesus? So I'll throw in whatever I have and whatever I can to help with the mission. So we've got Matthew 25, I want you to read, and you go home. And then we've got Luke 10. You see, at the start of Luke 10, Jesus is doing something, and it's really important maybe to think about the context in which Jesus is working and read some of the Gospels in that context, that Jesus was taking the 12 disciples and the wider group, and he was training them and teaching them. He was a rabbi. He was a teacher. He was instructing them. And at the very start of Luke chapter 10, what he does is he's got 72 people, and he gathers them in, and then he sends them out. He gives them a go, and he gives them a task and a mission. It's a wee bit like what we were talking about whenever we said, like, come and let's practice and lean into the gifts. Jesus was gathering these people out. He was giving them some really clear instructions. He was sending them out in twos, and they were going to see what happened. And there's some things that can only happen whenever you get yourself out of your comfort zone. Because that's the space where God can turn up, and that's the space where God can work. It's whenever we push ourselves out of our comfort zone that then God is able to step into that space that is created. And Jesus gathers these people together, and then he sends them out. And he says, you know, don't be taking a purse, don't be taking a bag, don't be taking anything with you, don't take sandals, don't greet anybody on the road this time. Just go and do the job that I've given you to do. And they head out. And we read it and we look at the 72 and we go, wow, they must have all been amazing. They must have been wonderful. They must have been really great. They were with Jesus for a relatively short amount of time and they weren't that close to the inner circle of the 12. And he entrusted them and he said, get out there and do something. He said, here, is what I want you to do. I want you to go and I want you to go and announce the kingdom of God. I want you to start praying for the sick and I want to see them healed. He says, get out there and start doing something. And they get out and they start doing something and God turns up. And miracles start to happen. And they start to gather back in. And Lauren led us this morning around stories of what God's doing. I want more stories, and I want more stories like theirs where they're coming back in and they're going, this person was healed. We spoke the name of Jesus and demons flee. They saw the power of God, and you can just imagine, like, they all got sent out. There were bound to be some socially awkward people. There were bound to be some people that didn't know when to stop talking. There was bound to be some people that didn't want to say a word. But they were digging deep because the Lord had asked them to do it. The Lord had asked them to go. And he sent them out. And they went out. And he turned up in the space. And then the stories and the buzz as they all came back in and they were sharing the stories. And Jesus, even the demons must obey your name. This is amazing. And then Jesus, like, sometimes we could read this and you can't read what's not there. But sometimes we can read this like it's really harsh. That they came in and they were excited, and straight away Jesus went, no, just remember, and like sort of pouring cold water over a thing. But in the celebration and the excitement, and then Jesus then steps into it and goes, this is amazing, this is wonderful, but remember, the greatest thing that you need to focus on is that your name is written in heaven. And with all of the gifts that we've been unpacking and the attention that we've given to it, and how we want to use those gifts and the authority that God has given us and how he has empowered us and entrusted us. Let's remember that actually the most amazing thing is that our name is written in heaven. That actually right here, right now, you belong to him. That you're his son, that you're his daughter, that you are his. And I feel like this passage in Matthew 25 is really important for us. Sorry, Luke 10. It's really important for us. Because with unpacking all of the gifts, it gives us a go. It's time to go. It's time to move. Read verse 2 and verse 3. He sent the 72 out, and this is what he said to them. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. And maybe this morning, at the end of this teaching series, you need to hear the go of the Lord. You need to hear that it is time to move. You need to hear that he is sending you out. And you need to lift up your eyes and see that the harvest is plentiful right in front of you. Maybe it's time to lift up your head. And for some of us, we're maybe here and our world has got a little bit small. We are focusing on ourselves and our own needs. And we are nurtured in a really individualistic culture and society. It's really hard to fight against that. We're told to go after our own comfort and our own security constantly. And I wonder this morning if there is a moment and a time for you to lift up your head off yourself and off those immediately around you, and lift up your head and see the need that surrounds you. See the desperate need that surrounds you. See that the harvest is ready. See that it's plentiful, but it's coming in the faces of broken people. It's coming in the brokenness of humanity, that actually there is maybe time for us to lift up our heads and see beyond ourselves. This morning, if you're in this place and you are walking through a season of real pain, can I just say, like, don't listen to this bit. just let us love you. Let us love you. Let us carry you through this season. But for others, maybe you're here and what you need is a little bit of a kick up the bum. Because for whatever reason, your focus just went on yourself. It just went on your own needs. It went on survival, and you never got out of that mode. And Jesus is saying, lift up your heads, look out, there is a harvest right in front of you, and see the need and the brokenness of humanity and go and serve it. Maybe this morning you have lifted up your head. You lifted up your head and you looked around and, oh man, it was just too much to bear. You saw the pain. You felt the pain. You see the brokenness. You see in our own town, on this island, in the nations of the world, you have felt the pain of that. And it all just got too much, and you just put your head down, because actually it was much easier to ignore everything that was happening, to put your head into the sand and to pretend that it wasn't going on, because that was easier to bear. And you let your head go down because it was just all too tough. I wonder this morning if the Lord gently wants to lift up your head again and say, come feel the pain with me. Come share in the pain with me, because as he looks out across the nations, as he looks out across this island, as he looks out across our town, as he looks out across your street, he feels the brokenness. And he says, come join me in the brokenness. Come join me in the brokenness. Come with me into the difficult and dark places, to the situations that feel impossible. Wade in with him and find him already there, with a space for you to join in. Maybe it's lifting your head up and letting yourself feel the pain again. And maybe there's a lifting up of your head because you feel shame. And you've heard the teaching every week here, and it's been great, and you've agreed with it, of people's gifting and how God wants to use them. But every time you heard it, it reinforced a little narrative in your head that because of some things that you've done in your past or you're doing in your present, that you're hearing a voice going, God can't use you. That's great for that person over there, and that's amazing, and I love seeing them stepping into that. That's really good. But you're hearing a little voice that's just saying, that's great for everybody else, but God can't use me. God can't use me. And whenever Jesus was on earth, he had three really close friends. And in the most critical moment, one of those friends pretended that he didn't know them. Imagine the pain of that, of all the pains that you could go through, of the denial of friendship of someone that you love and that you trust is up there. It's a hard one. And whenever this guy, Peter, did this to Jesus, he was broken and he threw in the towel and he said, that's me, I'm out. Everything that Jesus has promised over my life, it's gone. Look what I've done. I denied Jesus at the most critical moment. He returned back to what his life was before. He was settling. You know the most beautiful thing? Jesus came after him. He's like, tell the disciples and tell Peter. I know he's ruled himself out at the moment. Tell the disciples and Peter. And he went after him. This beautiful moment on a beach where he comes to him and he says to him three times, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter says, you know that I love you. You know that I love you. You know that I love you. He says, go feed my sheep. Says, I've got a job for you to do. So this morning, maybe you need to lift up your head out of your own circumstances and see the need around you. Maybe you need to lift up your head with Jesus and go with him into the pain and the brokenness and feel it again. Maybe you need to lift up your head out of your own shame, that Jesus is gently looking to lift your head up and lock eyes with you and go, do you love me? You see, the harvest is ready, but it needs workers. Will you lift up your head this morning and join him? Jesus says, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. I'm really aware that what I'm asking you to do this morning is put your head above the parapet, is put your head up above the trench in the middle of a war, to actually look up and look around at what's going on. It won't be easy. And Jesus doesn't pretend that it is. He says, I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. But even as we've sang this morning, in the end, it will all be worth it. In the end, it will all be worth it. How are they going to hear about Jesus if nobody tells them? Who is going to tell them if we don't? Will you lift up your head? Just to close. Oh, on the wrong one. Read this and I thought it was helpful. When the house is on fire, don't tell me about your spiritual gift. Just grab a hose and put out the fire. There is an urgency to the need and the call that's right in front of us. It is a matter of life and death. It is a matter of eternity. There are people that don't know Jesus here in life. There are people that are going through life without a hope of heaven. And there are people that are entering into eternity without Jesus. And Jesus is saying that the harvest is plentiful. He just needs some workers. Can we pray? I'm going to ask the worship guys just to come up as we respond. Just while we're doing that, why don't you ask the Lord, what are you saying to me, God? Holy Spirit, what are you saying to me? What are you highlighting to me? What are you asking from me? Prime Ministry team are going to get themselves at the front and at the back. Again, that you this morning you can have anything prayed for, and come for anything at all. But I suppose my question to you this morning is, are you going to lift up your head? Are you going to lift up your head? If you're comfortable, let's just close our eyes in reflection and listen into what the Holy Spirit's saying to us. We want to pray for some people this morning who are saying, I want to lift up my head. Come on with that repentance of going, oh, I didn't realize I just got so caught up in my own little world. people who are saying, I'm willing to engage with the pain again, God, the burden of what you place. And for those who want to lift up their head out of their shame and lock eyes with Jesus, we want to pray for you this morning. Can I ask you to stand, if that's you, just quietly where you are, that we can just pray that over your life. I'm not going to ask you to do anything else. You'll have free rein of whether you want to come and get prayer ministry at the front. I would just love you to take a marker, to take a moment, and say, Jesus, I'm lifting up my head. I'm lifting up my head. Would you stand? I'm going to pray in just a moment. If you want to join other people, there's people standing, you want to join them, say, I'm lifting up my head. King Jesus, I know you're coming back. See the urgency. I'm going to grab a hose. I'm going to help put out the fire. Spirit of God, I pray for those people that are standing this morning. God, I pray over them that the very title of empowered, as they lift up their head, will they be so aware of your presence, God? Will they be so aware of your call upon them? And will they be so aware that they are yours, God? That they are yours. We're just going to close with a song. And if there's anything that we've been talking about or anything else, even if for sickness that you won't pray for, just go to the front or back. Let's all stand together as we close.
You're worthy of every song we could ever sing. Other name.
guys are going to play on here gently. If you've got kids, could you slip out quietly just to get them, just if there is anybody. We just want to leave a little bit of space for anybody that wants to respond. So you're free to go. But if you would like any prayer ministry, just go to the back, go to the front. And if you're leaving, just slip out quietly and get into the foyer and make as much noise as you want.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this podcast. For more information about our church and all that we do, please visit our website at emmanuel-church.co.uk.